My grandmother died when I was 13 years old, but I can still remember those days so clearly in my mind. I remember my mother going up to Abbotville, where my grandparents lived, to be with my grandmother while she had gallbladder surgery. And I remember her coming back home. She looked tired and worn. She sat us down and told us that when they went in to remove my grandmother's gallbladder, they discovered she had an aggressive form of liver cancer. I then knew that the look on my mother's face was not from the long drive home or the late hour, but from a deep and aching sadness. Her mother, the one who had taken care of her, was going to die. I remember packing, eyes filled with tears, and driving to her house the next morning. I remember exactly how the funeral home smelled. The scent of lilies always calls those moments to my mind. All day, people came to offer their condolences. Never in my life have I heard so many times, "Well, look how big you've grown." They told stories and shared pictures and keepsakes. We were celebrating the life of my grandmother, of my Gigi, by talking about who she was. I wonder what that upper room in Joppa was like, where the widows had gathered to mourn the loss of their friend. Did the scents of burial oils linger in the air? Were they telling stories? Had they walked from their homes days before to come and spend time with this woman they loved so much? When Peter arrives from Lydda, where he has just healed Ananias, they show him the clothes they are wearing, the ones Tabitha had made for them. Like I shared photos of my Gigi, they showed Peter these clothes to tell him about Tabitha, about their beloved friend and caretaker. But we don't really know much about this Tabitha. We don't know where she grew up. We don't have a record of anything she ever said. We do know that she lived in Joppa. The text tells us she served her community through good works and acts of charity. We know that she was called a disciple. She cared for those who were considered some of the most vulnerable. Earlier in Acts, we learn that widows were among the most neglected. Because they did not have husbands, they could not own property. It was extremely difficult for them to secure any kind of income. Tabitha lived and cared for these women who had been pushed to the outside of their community. And these women who had gathered show Peter the clothes Tabitha had made for them, as if to say, "Look what this woman has done for us. She has loved us and cared for us. She has lived with us. That is who she was." Tabitha was a woman of deep compassion. Compassion literally means to suffer with. C-O-M, the prefix for with or together. Passion, to suffer with. So compassion is more than being nice or kind. Compassion implies empathy and solidarity. Compassion is like when God came to us in the body of Christ to suffer alongside us and journey with us, to meet us in every part of what it is to be human. And Tabitha, who is called a disciple, shows this compassion of Christ by living out the gospel, the good news, in practical ways in her community with the people who are standing on the outside. Tabitha lives out a story of compassion and community. And this story, her story, is also one of healing. We find this story nestled in the book of Acts, which is the second installment of the Gospel of Luke, and the story of what happens next. Luke tells us about what happened after the resurrection and ascension of Christ. But because of this ascension of Christ, the book of Acts begins with somewhat of a theological crisis. Jesus, God incarnate, God made flesh, no longer dwells among the people of God in body. Verse 1 of the first chapter of Acts reads, "In the first book," likely here referring to Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. So Jesus has ascended to heaven. Will the healing work of God continue in his absence? According to the book of Acts, yes, it will. Luke names that at the time of his ascension, Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, inaugurates the ministry of his apostles. They will be the ones who will continue and teach what Jesus has started. Jesus told his disciples, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so at Pentecost, which we learn about in the second book of Acts, this gift of Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes. Barbara Brown Taylor, author and theologian, says about Pentecost, "When Jesus let go of his last breath, willingly we believe for the love of us, that breath hovered in the air in front of him for a moment, and then it was set loose on all the earth. It was such a pungent breath, so full of passion, so full of life, that it did not simply dissipate as so many breaths do. It grew in strength and in volume until it was a mighty wind, which God sent spinning through an upper room in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost." So on this day of Pentecost, when the disciples and friends of Christ opened their mouths to speak, they sounded like Jesus. When they laid up their hands upon the sick, it was as if Jesus himself had touched them. They were doing things they had never seen anyone but Jesus do, and there was no explanation for it, except they had dared to inhale on the day of Pentecost. So in Acts, Luke is telling us about the work of these Spirit-filled people, about the expansion of the church and the spreading of the gospel. In our text, Peter, a disciple of Jesus, who addressed the crowd on the day of Pentecost, comes to Joppa. He has been beckoned by a community that is hurting. He has just healed a man, Ananias, and given him back his sight. When Peter arrives, he goes into that upper room and clears it out, telling everyone to go outside. Then Peter kneels in front of the body and prays a prayer we don't know. And then he speaks into the silence. "Tabitha, get up!" And she does. Tabitha gets up. Not only has Peter physically healed this woman, but he has offered healing to a community. A community that is hurting and has gathered together because they have lost the one who took care of them. Peter lives out this story of compassion and community and healing. This story of Tabitha and of Peter and of a group of women gathered to mourn shows that the continuing power of God to heal, to resurrect, is still present in the world. God's love and life-giving grace does not end with Jesus, but continues through Tabitha, who loves and serves her community, through a group of women who have gathered, through Peter, who comes and offers healing, through the work of the people who are filled to the brim with God's Holy Spirit. And that is good news. And we see these stories of community and healing all throughout the book of Acts, but they might not fit so easily into our worldview today, because we don't see people being raised from the dead. And our prayers do not often give people back their sight. But just as that community gathered in Joppa, we are in need of healing. Devastation and pain is all around us. We live with both individual and communal hurts. Our hearts get broken. We get sick. The people we love die. We may deal with anxiety or depression. We may feel pushed to the outside of our communities, and we may push others out. We witness oppression and injustice. In our own city, we see great wealth disparity, great poverty, great need. In our world, in our country, in our community, we see racism and sexism and hatred, fear of the other. Natural disasters like Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma and the earthquake in Mexico devastate communities, damaging property, displacing people, creating fear and chaos and a sense of hopelessness. And sometimes it's just hard to be human and to live in this world. All we want is a miracle. We want our prayers to cure our grandmothers of cancer. We want God to intervene. And so it may look different, but the Spirit of God who was present in that Joppa community, the Spirit that came down like fire on the day of Pentecost, is here among and within us. One scholar says, the helpful distinction is between praying for a cure, which seems to dictate to God our desired outcome, and praying for healing, which can come in 100 unexpected ways. God's Spirit will intervene on behalf of our prayers, and yet the healing that comes often surprises us and causes us to catch our collective breath. Healing will not always look like we expect it to or like we want it to. My prayers did not cure my grandmother of cancer, but God was still present. The breath of God, the Spirit of God was still hovering. As I sat with my family and heard stories about my Gigi as a little girl, as I took time to remember precious moments with her, healing was creeping in. The pain was still there. My Gigi was still gone. But in shared stories and shared meals and shared grief, my family began to heal. Even if Peter had not come to bring Tabitha back to life, healing would have happened, I'm sure of it. Through women gathered to mourn and through stories, healing was already in that place. And long before, Tabitha's compassion helped to heal a community that felt the pain of loss and exclusion. Her simple act of making clothes, of being present, was an embodiment of the healing and compassionate and inclusive way of Christ. Tabitha, who was called a disciple, was filled to the brim with God's Holy Spirit. This God of compassion and healing is still at work in our world. God works in us and through us in surprising and creative and life-giving ways. Through the love and grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the potential to heal our communities by the compassion we offer to one another and to the world around us. The day of Pentecost was not just one stagnant, dramatic event of Spirit outpouring. The Spirit didn't come for just a moment. The Spirit, the very breath of God, stayed. It stayed with Peter. It stayed with Tabitha. It stayed with a group of women gathered to mourn, and it continues to ruminate within and among us. That Spirit that was with Peter and with Tabitha and with those women, the Spirit that embodies the redemptive, resurrecting, renewing power of God is here. The Spirit is breaking in now. And it has the potential to disturb our routines and disrupt our attitudes. We are the disciples. And the Spirit that comes and fills us to the brim calls us to boldly embody the compassion of Christ. And this is deep compassion that we are called to engage. It is more than being nice or kind. It implies empathy and solidarity. It is being like Jesus, whose radically inclusive nature acknowledged that everyone belongs. Everyone has a story to tell, and everyone, no matter race, sex, creed, or religion, is a beloved child of God. It is being like Tabitha, who loved and served a community of outsiders, who healed the pain of loss and exclusion. It is being like Peter, who came and brought healing to a healer. It is being like a group of women gathered to mourn. It is taking a good look at ourselves, at the people around us, at our local and global communities, and asking who is active and engaged. Who is standing on the outside? What voices are being silenced? Where is their struggle? It is asking, how are we standing in solidarity, and how are we complicit in the pain and oppression of others? And sometimes this is hard. Most of the time it's hard. It's uncomfortable. It's risky. And it's easier not to. Some days we just don't want to do it. But just like that community gathered in Joppa, we are in need of healing. Our world is in need of it. And we are called to compassionately take an active and eager role in that healing, to follow the Spirit of God, even when it's hard. Tabitha's simple acts of compassion and caring express in a visible and tangible way something of the Holy Spirit, something of the incarnation and resurrection of Christ, of the Christ who came to us, God incarnate, through compassion, to suffer alongside us and to journey with us. This love and life-giving grace that God breathed into the flesh, that God breathed into the world, will endure. And it beckons us towards compassion. So how do we do that? How do we embody something of the incarnation and resurrection of Christ? How might we boldly claim our identity as Spirit-filled manifestations of the living God? The disciples called for Peter, and the text says Peter got up. And he went into that upper room, knelt before the body lying there, and said, "Tabitha, get up." And she does. Peter got up. Tabitha got up. God continually calls for us to get up. God is calling us to get up and mark our lives by compassion, to get up and be advocates for healing, to get up and have a block party, to get up and listen. Listen for the voices we silence. Listen for the voices of dissent. Listen for the voices of those who are standing on the outside. To get up and brace our call to community. God calls us to get up, to share God's love and life-giving grace with one another and the world, because our story can be and is one of compassion and community and healing.